Hi, I'm Stan Lee, editor of the Marvel Comics group of superhero comic magazines.
Did Stan Lee, the human face behind Marvel Comics that inspired the greatest movie genre in human history, have a dark and nefarious agenda? Did Stan Lee seek to distort the one true God into a bumbling creator unworthy of worship? Did Lee and Marvel Comics portray Satan as the real hero or savior of humanity? Did Stan Lee use his comics to promote what the Bible calls the coming strong delusion, whereby the world is deceived to receive the final Antichrist?
Are you afraid of dying?
No. Not at all.
Do you think you go somewhere?
No. I feel when you die, there's just nothing.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey friends, kind of chilling when someone with that much influence in the entertainment industry says, no, we don't, nothing happens. We don't go anywhere after we die. And you can't help but think that some of that is in some of his creation. So we'll talk with Pastor Joe Schimmel, Blessed Hope Chapel, Simi Valley, California, pastor out there. I used to be out there, and just a great man of God. And he is with Good Fight Ministries. The website is goodfight.org, goodfight.org. They're an evangelical Christian ministry exposing the lies being propagated through entertainment, media, and pop culture. And by the way, some of their video exposés, they're some of the most watched films in the world. He's known for They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. If you don't know about that video exposé, go look that up on their YouTube channel. It's Good Fight on YouTube, so check that out. Pastor Joe, so good to see you again. Thanks for your time.
Oh, David, it's always a huge blessing to be on with you, brother. Love it. Thank you for
yes.
the invite.
Yes, so you've done this three-part series of Marvel and DC's War on God documentary. This third installment is who we just saw in the intro, Stan Lee, God and the Devil. So for people that have no idea who's behind the scenes, which is Stan Lee, let's just start there, because some of, if you're an author, if you're a writer of a movie, some of what you believe, your worldview and ideology, goes into most often what you put out there for entertainment. So talk to us about Stan Lee. Why should we be concerned about him?
Oh yeah, absolutely. He is the face, the face behind the comic world, you know, the icon of Marvel, most certainly. And he, and then we, you know, after the, all the comics and that just enthralled so many young people growing up, and now many older people, because they grew up with them, then it became the, you know, Marvel cinema. So then it took the world by storm, because it's the top genre in movies for the last several years. It dwarfs everything else by way of comparison. And Stan Lee made 60 cameo appearances, 60 different movies, Marvel movies, so you see his influence, and he was the influence over the main influence over the characters and what went on there at Marvel. But in this video, we you know, this expose, we explore his worldview and what he's teaching and what he's communicating in his characters and so forth, and we look at some of the things that meant most to him. So you can, and it gets even more chilling. You mentioned the word chilling when you see the idea that he purveys regarding his own conviction upon others is probably coming through in comics. Well, that's most certainly true, because we show a close friend of his who would have lunch with him periodically for a number of years, and stating in that very context that Stan said he's not that he was an atheist. A lot of people think Stan Lee was an atheist. He says Stan Lee believed in God. He just believed that God was lesser than perfect, and that God wasn't a perfect God. And Stan Lee had more of a Gnostic view of God. The Gnostics were the second and third century, and even the latter part of the first century. When you read 1 John and other New Testament books, we see that John identifies them as having the spirit of Antichrist, and they were opposed. They believed in God, the creator, but they believed he was a weak, imbecilic kind of God that we needed to be you know, delivered from. Stan Lee had a view like that of God, and it certainly, and we could talk about it, it certainly came through in his comics, because the superheroes became the heroes, and God, as he basically depicts him, is diminished.
Well, I'm going to give the website marveldcexposed.com. You can go to goodfight.org, or you can go to marveldcexposed.com. I want to quote you, Pastor Joe Schimmel, and let you expound even more. You said many leading comic book writers have admitted that they're using seduction, manipulation, the occult, and even the Bible to influence children to view the God of the Bible from a twisted slant. And you say our series aims to help families recognize these underlying messages and equip them with a biblical response. End quote. And yet, Pastor Joe, a lot of Christian families go to all of these movies, they're watching all these TV programs, and they're taking in, even though it's subtle seduction at times, sometimes it's blatant anti-God, anti-Christ. Talk to us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. And I want to, you know, as a pastor, regarding pastoral worldview, biblical worldview, counsel, I recognize the difficulty in bringing up our children in this culture. You know, my children are young. I kept them from a lot of things, and they've grown up by the grace of God to all three of them becoming, you know, strong men and women of God now, or a man, one son, and two daughters. But there was a time when, you know, Spider-Man came out and Marvel became cinematic. I thought all these things, these, you know, I could check them out, you know, don't trust, but, you know, verify, wonder what, you know, is being communicated here. And I was able to take them to some of the early Marvel movies, but then a lot of the adult humor started being communicated. And then all of a sudden I started realizing, wow, it's not from the, you know, like the first Spider-Man. Even the first Spider-Man, there was an interesting scene in there where Aunt May, you know, she's being on the verge of being destroyed, and she's right in the middle of her prayer, deliver us from evil, but God can't deliver her. But guess what? You know, her nephew, Spider-Man, will come through for her. And I started to see that, wow, there's a communication here that shows that human heroes are greater than God, ultimately. Mm-hmm. And to give you just your audience a quick purview into, you know, the influence that some of these guys have, that's incredibly nefarious. It's you know, absolutely irrefutable that these guys, many of these have wicked agendas. And that would be, if you looked at, if they just went to the Comic Book Review website, which is the biggest, you know, website online regarding the most popular website as far as, you know, criticizing or pumping up, you know, looking at what comics are the best and so forth. Every 4 years, they have a poll, and tons of people vote on who the top writers are, and they go to the top 100. So every 4 years, it switches. Well, as of a year ago in January, just over a year ago, the two of the top guys were Alan Moore and Grant Morrison. The new vote came in. It's Alan Moore number one. It's called the Shakespeare of comic in the graphic novel. Number two is Grant Morrison, and number three is Stan Lee.
Wow.
And if you just look at these three, and I'll just say a few words about each, is Alan Moore, the top guy, top dog there, he says he practices Satanist Aleister Crowley's magic. He says he got in touch with the demon of cinema. He has an underground lair. He wears a ring with a big serpent on it, calls himself a Gnostic. And he says that if you communicate with these demonic entities, you just have to treat them right, so you're just not destroyed by them, but they help him right. The number two guy, Grant Morrison, same deal, into Crowleyism, Crowley's magic, and so forth. We show a depiction. We show him actually speaking to a bunch of people, a bunch of young people screaming their braces off, and older people as well, about his writing ability. And we also show a clip of his buddy, former BBC, or former, I should say, British presenter for British television, saying, yeah, Grant shoots candy-coated bullets into the brains of children. And when they hit the brain, he gets the kids nice and blanked up. Well, we show Grant Morrison, the number two guy, speaking in front of a huge picture of Aleister Crowley with 666 under it, and saying, I got into Crowley. How do you think I can write like this? You guys need to buy his books. That's the number two guy. Number three guy, which is what our next video is on, which of course is Stan Lee. Same deal. He made a character who had two different movies since now called Doctor Strange. And Doctor Strange is the latest incarnation of a guy that started out as Dr. Droom, not Doom, but Droom, rhyming with broom, who became Dr. Druid and then Doctor Strange. And we show that when he was called Dr. Droom, same origin story, basically, He's the spitting image of Satanist Aleister Crowley. Then they changed his look, but he has the same history. He uses the eye in the triangle as a symbol. He begins as this British guy who's a magician and weds Eastern mysticism with Western witchcraft. And I show like 20 different parallels, but then I show the evidence because a guy named Steven Engelberg, he's one of the top writers ever for Marvel and DC. He became a member. He did Doctor Strange for a number of years. And he did, even though Doctor Strange was developed by Steve Ditko along with Stan Lee, we show pictures of this guy dressed in his warlock outfit, became a member of Crowley's OTO, actually wrote to Jimmy Page about how about we use the mansion overlooking Loch Ness that you bought where Aleister Crowley lives so we could have our OTO meetings in Europe, even though he's an American. And we actually play him on a podcast, a Crowley podcast, where it starts off with, you know, their music and somebody saying, "Do what thou wilt, shall be the whole of the law." And then he laughs with the guy about how he snuck in Crowley's magic and stuff and teachings into the character of Doctor Strange. So that guy was developed a lot by the show where Stan Lee said, "We got to bring the sorcerer back," and so forth. And that's one of the things we focus in the movie. There's a lot of other things that are just as powerful in it, but maybe we can cover some of those as well.
Wow. Just the history on those three guys. Just amazing. And to think about Crowley and his influence on Led Zeppelin and all that. And I know you've done a lot on music. They sold their souls for rock and roll. Again, there's a plug.
And it's free, by the way. If somebody goes to the goodfight.org site, we have that 3-hour version. We have a 10-hour version, but the 3-hour, which is the abridged version, is free for everybody.
Fantastic. There it is. You guys must check that out. They sold their souls for rock and roll. That is one of the things, the tools that God used to bring my wife, Rosanna, to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God used your ministry.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want to read Ray Comfort of Living Waters Ministry said, "Pastor Joe Schimmel's documentaries are always cutting edge, timely, and incredibly informative. Marvel and DC's War on God does not disappoint." And I want to ask you, Joe, with all the garbage, the stuff that Hollywood puts out, that the music industry puts out, that commercials, that everything in culture, there's a lot that you could write about. What made you focus on Marvel and DC, the comics and the movies? What made you decide to go this route?
That's a great question, Dave. Only because it was kind of strange, because that's the last thing I thought I'd be doing an expose on, right? They sold their soul for rock and roll. You know, I did Hollywood's War on God, which shows Gnosticism within the movies and so forth. Yeah. And I did a lot of exposés through the years, and pastoring full-time is full-time, you know? So I'm trying to be very picky about what I pour my heart into research-wise. And so, you know, I do a podcast a couple times a week, pastor messages a couple times a week. So I was like, Lord, I didn't want to actually do it. So what happened was, and I knew very little about comics, just being upfront, you know, saw some of the movies and so forth, remember some of the comics when I was a kid, very little bit. So one day I was no longer going to, taking the kids early on, but then I thought, you know what, there's too much. It looks like there's an inversion going on where the bad character is starting to look, or the good, or the hero is kind of nebulous morally. It's not really communicating, good godly morals to my children. And sometimes it seems like it's subversive. So I got away from them, these comics, right? I thought, okay, I'm not going to take them to superhero movies. And they got a little bit older, and, you know, they make their own decisions as they get older and so forth, and they're adults and so forth. But so I was like, you know what? But I'm not going to, at the same time, I don't know enough to condemn the whole thing. I just, you know, when you got Hollywood writers, you know, you got to be concerned because you're going to need a worldly worldview. Quite often, we just know that, that's standard right there.
Yep.
So, brother, there was a Infinity Wars movie came out, and they were showing the trailer with Thanos, who's like the main, antagonist, and he's the evil character, the villain. And all of a sudden, he says, "I am," and there's a pregnant pause,
Wow.
And it's inevitable, and I'm like, okay, don't tell me they're making him look like the I am. And I just thought that's terrible. I can see where they're going with that, And then I think COVID hit or whatever. Then the follow-up to that movie, the actual Infinity Wars, it was a couple different movies, right? And there he is again. And there he's announced in the new trailer, "I am." And pregnant pause again. I'm like, and then I put my hands in the air, Dave. I was in front of my computer working. The commercials pop up. And when you're looking at things and so forth, and a podcast or whatever I was looking at, and all of a sudden I put up my hands. I said, Lord, if the same thing's happening in these comics that's happening in what I exposed with They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, I'd exposed, by the way, Alan Moore a little bit in Hollywood's War on God. And that was more in relation to the movies, but I knew he was a graphic writer for comics. I just didn't know in depth. So I just prayed. I said, Lord, if there's something more to this and you want me to expose it, you know, burn it on my heart, show me somehow. So I don't just get off on this tangent that is not from you and it's not fruitful. And brother, when I woke up that morning, man, my heart was burning to expose that. You have to delve into this. You have to jump into it. You have to expose it. And I thought, man, okay. I went, and brother, a matter of, I'm not kidding, hours. I'm like, this, because I started seeing these connections, because I started looking at the top writers and I started seeing how they were connected to Crowley, how they were trying to promote Crowley's view. The top writer, Alan Moore, says he's a Joseph Goebbels. That was Adolf Hitler's propaganda minister. He goes, I'm the Joseph Goebbels of art. You know, we show a clip of him being interviewed by BBC saying, you take girls like Alice in Wonderland in these stories, you know, Cinderella, these type of characters, and you make them prepubescent and you put them in sexualized situations where they're having sex with people. This is pornographic. And he goes, yeah, it is pornographic. We show the interview. He goes, but I can get away with it because it's considered fictitious. This is, they're promoting, he's promoting, I'll call it PDF philia or P. Diddy philia, you know? So that's a term I coined a couple months ago, because we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, so, Pastor Joe, we've got to take a brief break here. And when we come back, I just want to ask you a few more questions about this. Is fascinating to me because children are watching. It seems innocent, as you said, because it's fiction. These are just comic books. They're superheroes. But the website, again, friends, MarvelDCExposed.com. We'll be right back with Pastor Joe Schimmel.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily. World news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
Friends, thanks to you, and of course, under our sovereign God, thank you, Jesus, our episodes have been surging across various platforms. We just want to praise God and remind you to follow us, Apple, Spotify, Facebook, Rumble, YouTube, Freedom Project Media app. We are just so thankful. So, Pastor Joe, what are some of the more subversive superheroes out there today? Because most people are familiar with everything that Hollywood's put out in the last several decades because it's been so prominent, and these are blockbuster movies. So what are some of the most, I guess, subversive would be the word?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Since we just came out with Stan Lee, God and the Devil, is I was mentioning to you that Stan Lee in his interview, or I should say in his friend comes forth after having lunch with him a bazillion times, saying, yeah, he believed in God. He just believed that, you know, God was just deficient, you know? So I've mentioned that he diminishes God in the comics. And then, but then you get a hero that steps up and becomes incredibly subversive. In fact, he's the most one of the most subversive superheroes because he's actually Satan in the form of an angel of light. And there's a new movie coming out a few months away from now or so. Don't know the exact date. I'll have to look and find out when that's coming up, but a movie on Galactus, which is one of Stan Lee's huge character because he had the Fantastic Four fight Galactus, and that became an epic time in comics when people were really thinking, man, this is what helped comics take off, is Stan Lee wanted to create a character who would represent God and have the Fantastic Four fight God, because that would be, you know, the ultimate deal. At least that's what, Jack Kirby felt he was doing for Stan Lee after Stan Lee mentioned, let's deal with this character, because Jack Kirby, and we show this, we show within, in interviews, we show interviews in our, and site interviews throughout the video. And we actually play some of Stan Lee regarding some of this material I'm talking about, but we show where Jack Kirby said when he was young, and he goes through it, and little dramatization and so forth, but he was a teenager and were very young, and there was these Hasidic Jews dancing around him praying because his parents brought him in because they saw him manifesting what they were believed demonic possession, and they're trying to cast a demon out of him. He says it's at that time that he realized that all these things were coming out of him, these these pictures, these ideas, and they came flooding, psychedelic types of things that became part of the psychedelic 60s, that all these ideas came from him. And so he's working with Stan Lee, and he says, I had to make Galactus God, because he says I went to the Bible and to learn more about this character. And he goes, I actually had to move away from dealing with him for a while because it was a fearful thing. So he deals with Galactus, who's this evil character who just eats, you know, whole universes and, or, you know, planets. And but he has an emissary, and his emissary is supposed to be a noble person, and that's the Silver Surfer. And that Silver Surfer was way popular beginning in the 60s because the poster and fluorescent and black lights and all that stuff. And it's cool looking muscular silver character on a surfboard, and he becomes a hero. But at first he's serving Galactus, and he goes as kind of an emissary, kind of like John the Baptist type, to let the planet know that they're going to have to submit and they're going to be eaten. He's this character, but then he comes to Earth, and then the Earthlings are like, how could you allow this to happen? In the movie, it's Jessica Alba, right? It's, you know, having this affection for him and upset. How could you do this? But then he connects with her, and he has a change of heart, you know? He says, yeah, you know what? This is really, basically, it's evil. And he ends up fighting against Galactus and destroying Galactus, but by sacrificing himself, ultimately destroying Galactus's plan to eat the Earth. Well, if Galactus represents God, who represented God that turned from God? And he says, and we show an audio of it. He says, yeah, the Silver Surfer, he always represented the devil of the Bible. So the Silver Surfer, who's heroic, and by the way, he forms a cross in the movie and lights up and to collide with Galactus to destroy him. So he becomes like a false savior, he becomes a false Christ. He's an angel of light, and he represents Satan. So what's interesting about this whole thing, Dave, is you look at the favorite comic that, and we go through this comic of Stan Lee, he talks about his, and keep in mind, he believed in God, he just believed he was deficient. And his favorite comic, he said, is Parable. And in Parable, you know, Galactus, who represents God, is coming to the planet to destroy it again. And it's it's his favorite comic. And we go through it and we quote him saying that, and there's an evangelist, you know, trying to get people to turn to God and so forth. He becomes this evil character who's killed, and Galactus is still coming. And it just so happens, you know, to cut to the chase regarding that, because I want to get to one more if we have time, is Galactus is defeated again by the Silver Surfer. But the Silver Surfer, then the United Nations wants to work with the Silver Surfer to bring a world government or world peace on the Earth, you know, which, you know, sounds like the whole Antichrist system, right?
Right.
And the Silver Surfer says two or three times throughout that comic that, you know, he wants people to recognize their own inner divinity, their spark of divinity within, which is the lie. Remember, it says Satan wanted to be like the Most High God. He told Eve, you can be like God, you know. The Antichrist will sit in the temple of God, show himself that he is God. And here is the Silver Surfer teaching this satanic lie. So this is satanic to the core.
Yeah.
I'll give you one more example.
Sure.
Because the movie that's coming up, the new Galactus movie, so it's good timing, is with regard to Galactus, Stan Lee actually narrated a comic, or a kind of a comic thing that he wrote called God Woke. And when he first presented this on stage, things were thrown at him from the audience because it's such blasphemy against God. And we talk about that. And you hear his voice, and we play his voice, and we show the panels of comics going by. And what he does is he shows that God creates humanity, but when they pray to him, he's indifferent toward their prayers. He does a wicked worldview that he doesn't care about them. He's indifferent to them. He doesn't want to be bothered with their prayers. And they descend into chaos, and it's just horrific. And by the end of the comic, God looks in the mirror and he asks whose fault it really is. And he realizes it's his fault. And there's a tear in his eye, and God woke, meaning God woke to the reality that he's really the cause of all the problems. He's wicked. So he's not just deficient, but he's indifferent toward evil. So he's uncaring, and he's basically a wicked being, which is really interesting, because this fits more of a Gnostic worldview than an atheistic worldview. And of course, that's what Crowley was. And that's what a lot of these guys are. They're Gnostics deep down. They're against God. And when we read the book of Revelation and the end time books, it talks about a worldview where people are actually fighting against God in the end, realizing he exists. So I believe it's preparation. That's why the first video is about the Antichrist agenda. The second one's on Doctor Strange. The third one, we go right to the jugular of the head of the snake, basically.
Wow. There is so much more, Joe, but we only have 3 minutes left. There's the series right there, guys. You can go to goodfight.org or the website marveldcexposed.com. So any cautions or things that you might want to share to encourage? We have a vast range of listeners and viewers, different ages, but let's talk about the younger families whose kids... Some of these superheroes are their idols. They want to go see because all their friends are seeing these movies. And I know some of these messages in the movies, we know the background of the people, and they are maybe subtle, but they're nonetheless evil and seductive. Any cautions or any encouragement you can give a young mom and dad watching or listening?
Yeah, I would encourage them to really pray, understand that I'm not going around trying to be a killjoy. It's just I'm a dad, too, and I'm a son of God, a child of God, along with you, Dave, and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just have an earnest desire to protect the children, you know. God came against the priests in the Old Testament more than once because they did not make a distinction between that which was good and that which was evil. And we're warned that we need to make sure we're not babes who are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That's what children are, they're babes. So they need to get off the milk and onto the meat eventually so they can discern good and evil, Hebrews chapter 5. So what I encourage parents to do is make their children aware of what's happening amongst their kids, especially when they're tempted to watch all this stuff, and let them know, hey, there's certain things that we don't have for a reason. If you can't afford the actual videos that we have available, we have a bunch of clips that we have online that are free at goodfight.org, or I should say, if you go to Good Fight Ministries on YouTube, we make things available all the time that are free. So you can make them aware of what's going on, so you can teach them and give them a biblical worldview. I mean, brother, you know, who's the ultimate example that they should have is the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, let the children know that these characters are fictitious. They're not real. And even characters like Captain America doesn't represent even American values anymore. He's woke now. So it's like, it's just really, really deplorable. And I would encourage them to look to Jesus, who actually existed. Our whole calendar is around BC and AD. We're in, you know, 2025. And the Hall of Faith chapter, Hebrews 11, you know, look to the examples in Scripture who are the real heroes, who are real people who had victory through God, and get them to relate to those children, have their minds renewed through the Word of God, spending time with them, showing them you love them, not just bringing the hammer down, but letting them see your heart, giving them your time, your talent, and your treasure for God's glory.
Amen, brother. Thank you so much for your time. I know you're so busy. Pastor Joe Schimmel, Simi Valley, California, Blessed Hope Chapel, Good Fight Ministries, and hopefully I'll connect with our brother Chad on 511 News. We'll have him on the show again soon.
That'd be awesome.
Lord willing, we'll do this again soon. Appreciate it, Joe. Thank you.
Love you very much, Dave. Thanks for having me on, brother. God bless you.
Love you, brother. Thank you. Friends, God bless you, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.